Today's daf is Yuma daf Yud, and we are on Tesma Beis. Just we ran through the last statement of Reish Lakish, but it's a very significant statement that he said to Rabbi Bar Bachana about Imchome Hidim Nalana Tiras Kesef, that the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not make Bayis Sheni as he did Bayis Rishon was our fault, that we didn't come back, even though Koresh had given us and the government had given us permission, we did not come back to Eretz Yisrael, right? It's a very insightful comment in terms of the entire Bayis Sheni wasn't just, we mentioned in the past, yes, it was supposed to be, it was not supposed to be an eternal building, and they all knew that Bayis Sheni wasn't going to be eternal and it was going to be destroyed, but still, we also have to take some of the blame, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us back Eretz Yisrael to come back, you know, we didn't come back, and we have to realize that that's the message that applies throughout the generations. Okay, we continue now. And the last point to mention was that because it wasn't built like a chom, it wasn't built like a wall, it was built like a door. And a door, as Rashi says, is something that is not permanent. Poseach echad v'chaveru soger, says Rashi, kach alisem lachatzon, you went up halfway, and that's why the levels went down, and no more Nevi'im, there was just Baskol, and that was all that how HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicated with us. And we see throughout the Gemara, there are various Gemaras that relate to Baskols. What is a Baskol? So the Gemara in Tosfos, in Sanhedrin Adaf Yud Aleph, when everyone talks about Baskols, they quote this Tosfos, Yud Aleph Aman Aleph, top Tosfos, Yesh Omrim, Shaloha Yushomin Kol HaYotze Min HaShamayim, Ela Mitoch Oso Kol Yotze Kol Acher. An echo. Why is it called a baskol, not just a call? A call from Shemayim. Why is it a baskol? So Tosva says, because it's not a direct call. The message from God, it's an echo. Kadosh Baruch Hu sends out a call, and from that call, we hear another call. That's why it's called a baskol. V'oso kol yishomen v'lakach koronos a baskol. That's why it's called a baskol. And if you look in the Gilyon HaShas here, he quotes the Tosfos Yontif in Maseches Yevamos, where the Gemara there talks about if you hear a baskol, the Mishnah there talks about if you hear a baskol from a mountain and you go up and you want to find if a woman can get remarried, right, that in that context, Tosfos Yontif also talks about a baskol, and he adds on that why is it called a baskol and not a benkol? Right, so a baskol also this reflects weakness. Like whenever the Yalashon Nekeva is used in the Torah, it always reflects weakness. Whether it's the weaker hand of Tefillin or Moshe Rabbeinu Tashesh Kocho Kenekeva, different contexts where this comes up. I think I mentioned a few months ago, Rabbeinu Bachai in Parsha Zos HaBracha, Rabbeinu Bachai says that on the pasuk Ulu Levi Amar. So on that pasuk, he discusses the different levels how HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates with us. Because he says, Urim Mitumim is one of them. That's the pasuk. Tumecha v'urecha. Why did it say Tumecha v'urecha, not Umecha, right? Urim before Tumim. So there he talks about four levels of Nevua, he calls it. Four levels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates with us. Baskol, Urim v'tumim, Ruach HaKodesh, and Nevuah. Those are the four levels. The highest level, obviously, being Nevuah. And even within Nevuah, we would say there are different levels. Moshe Rabbeinu reached the highest level that a Navi could ever reach. Nevuah, Ruach HaKodesh, Urim v'tumim, going down, and Baskol. Baskol is the lowest level, and that's what the Gemara says is still around Bizman HaGemara. And there also, the Rabbeinu Bachai discusses many different concepts in Gemara, why sometimes some are Zachar, some are Nekeva. Binyan Av. It's not a Binyan Aim. It's a Baskol and not a Benkol. Yesh Aim LeMikra and Yesh Aim LeMesores and not Av. So why are some of these male and some of these female? And it goes through each one. Feel free to look at it. The Binyan Av, just to mention this one, the first one he discusses, and that is because that's as if it's written in the Torah. A binyan av, and it comes straight from the av, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it's called binyan av. It's like a Torah Shebichsav. Binyan av lo niskar b'shum makom me'atalmud ela al pasuk mipsuke Torah Shebichsav. Kol pasuk u pasuk u binyan av yitale sheshamanu ha-Torah mipiv mitocha esh. V'chulu. Yesh eim le-mikra, yesh eim le-mesaris, that's more Torah Shebal peh. And that's why it says eim, the mother, and not the father. Mother sometimes is behind the scenes. And then Baskol, he notes, similar to what the Tosfos Yontif says, Vakol Azeh Nishma Yikra Bas Lafishu Nimshach Me Oso Kol. So Davik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, makes a call, and from that call, we hear another call. Similarly, we discussed a few days ago that the Rabbi Levine on Pirkei Avos, who discusses when Moshe, even when Moshe Rabbeinu heard the call, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke Kaviyachol, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't hear the exact call. That's why it's Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, not Hashem Masar Torah LaMoshe, because Moshe got whatever he got out of the call, but it wasn't obviously directly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying. And he goes through all of the others, Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah as well, the uniqueness and the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara now. We're up to Vereish Lakish, five lines from the bottom. Vereish Lakish, Mimishtoi. So what the case was just that Vereish Lakish was swimming in the river and he had a conversation with Rabbi Barbarchana. So Vereish Lakish, Mimishtoi, Bahadi Rabbi Barbarchana. Would he speak to Rabbi Barbarchana anyway? Could this story really have taken place? Uma Rebbe Elazar, Demara Da'ara Di Yisrael Have. Rebbe Elazar was the Mara Da'asra, Mara Da'ara Di Yisrael. The Gemara elsewhere describes why he was called that. Lo Have, V'lo Have, Mishtoi Reish Lakish Ba'adei. And Reish Lakish, even though Rebbe Elazar was amazing and great, Reish Lakish still wouldn't talk to him. Demanded Mishtoi Reish Lakish Ba'adei Bashuk, because whoever Reish Lakish would talk to in the marketplace, Yavu Le'iska B'lo Sa'adi, they used to give him business without witnesses. Meaning, Rebbe Reish Lakish talks to him, he must be a Gavar Rabba. He must be an Ish Neman, and therefore, they were able to trust him. Reish Lakish hardly spoke to anybody in the Shuk. That's why they were able to trust him. So, if Reish Lakish didn't even speak to Rabbi Lazar, because of this, Bahadi Rabbi Barbarchana Mishtoi, would he speak to Rabbi Barbarchana? So, is that possible? So, the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Amar of Papa, Shadi Gavar Minayu, change one of the players in the story. O Reish Lakish Havi Uzi Iri, O Rabbi Barbarchana Havi Rabbi Lazar. Either it was Reish Lakish and Ze'iri. Ze'iri was known l'chol ha'am as a very unique individual, so Reish Lakish would have spoken to Ze'iri, even though he wouldn't have spoken to any of the other Amoraim, or it was Rabbi Barbarchana and Rabbi Elazar and not Reish Lakish. The Ben Yoyada notes that it wasn't that Reish Lakish didn't speak to anybody. He was a nice person. Right? You would think, reading this Gemara, that he was just, you know, never spoke to anybody, had no friends. After he became from, he only spoke to Rabbi Yochanan and learning, and that's it. The Ben Yoyada said, no, we shouldn't jump to conclusions here. He was a wonderful person. V'li ana avda, nira. It appears to me that Reish Lakish would speak to anybody in a private place. In the Beis Medrash, in a shul, in his home. His house was always open. Afilu Talmud Kata, would speak to anybody. But in the shuk, in public, he wouldn't. Why not? Because originally, as we know, the Gemara tells us about Metzia, that he originally was a bandit. He was the Rebbe of the bandits. He was in charge. So when he became frum, he wanted to go to the other extreme. He wanted to make sure that he wouldn't speak to any of his old friends, right, out in public. And he became Davuk Bashem, Uva Vadaso Yom Valaila, Davuk Atsum Venora, Ubazeh, and he became unbelievably Mechubad in the eyes of the Am. Ubir Osam Shahun Israchek me Osam Haganovim, Vagazlonim, Harchaka Atsuma Batachlis, and then when they saw that in the street he would not go near any of them, Lachain, they realized that anybody that Reish Lakish would talk to would be somebody who must be an Ish Neman. He's not in the Ganavim and the Chamsan v'chulu. But the problem was, Reish Lakish thought to himself, he doesn't speak to everybody. Maybe somebody would walk by me in the Shuk. I won't say hello. I won't be talked to them. And then Memela, people would think that they're Ganavim and Chamsanim and Gazlanim. So he says, what do I do? He said, because I'm for sure not talking to that group of people. And other group of people, I might just not know them. They might not be my, they might just be walking down the street. But the second I don't talk to them, people are going to think that, oh, Reish Lakish doesn't talk to them. So that's why Reish Lakish was the Kabbalah practice. I don't speak to anybody in the street. Even the greatest people. Because even if it's the greatest, maybe people aren't so great that I don't talk to them. So that way I won't insult anybody. And people want to talk to me, they can come to my house and I'll talk to whoever I want. So it turns the story on its head. We look at the Pshuto Shel HaGemara and they're like, oh, Reish Lakish, he's not friendly. No, he is so sensitive to everybody's stature in the street that he wouldn't talk to anybody, because if he would talk to some people and not other people, then the people he wouldn't talk to would be lower in the eyes of the tzibur, and that's why he was makabel on himself what he did. So it was really his thoughtfulness that brought along this behavior, and not the opposite that we would have thought. Just one other ha'ara relating to this, and this is what I started to say yesterday, and I jumped the gun, and that is the Kedushas Levi. says Levi and Parshas Truma talks about it, in the beginning of Truma, Hashem says, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, v'yamarta lehem. This was the first time after Matan Torah that Hashem says, Daber el b'nei Yisrael. A deeper idea behind this pasuk is as follows. He says, Yadua, the Reish Lakish, whoever he would talk to in the Shuk, people would know, Ar Mechubad V'chulu, the Hatzadik Shomer Ma'od as Diburo Shalo, Im Hamon Am. The Tzadik guards who he talks to. Mishum, K'sha'adam Medaberim B'nei Adam, Hamonim, because when a great person speaks to somebody, one of the Hamon Am, Yecholim Lahafsik Oso Mitekos Hashem Yisparach. It's possible that the Tzadik, who is always in the zone of being with Hashem, always at Vekas, if he speaks to somebody else, he might be detached based on this person he's talking to. Zulas, unless this person is somebody who the Tzadik thinks that he can uplift through his talking, that he's doing his job and what he's supposed to do. Oz Rashai Tzadik Ladaberi Moki Adarabba. Aide Diburo Bedvekos Hashem Oser Roshem. He makes a Roshem and he brings him up. He says, that's what Reish Lakish used to do. He was such a tzaddik. Vayeshomer ma'od b'diburo shlo ladaber b'nei adam klau zulas imzeh adam shahayachal erome moso ala kedusha. He only spoke to people who he would be able to uplift, and that's why if people saw Reish Lakish talking to them, so then they would realize he must be somebody who can be uplifted, and he is an Ammon. So what does it have to do with Truma? When b'nei Yisrael were chotei be'egel v'nifseku kedushasam shechazru lezuam asan, as the Gemara says. They went back to Adam Arishon after the Chait. Az Haya Moshe Misyarei Ladaverimam. Moshe was worried about talking to them, just like Reish Lakish was nervous. So Moshe Rabbeinu was worried. That's why Hashem says, "Daber b'nei Yisrael." They are b'nei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They can be inspired and go talk to them. That's the emphasis of Moshe. Go talk to Am Yisrael. Kedushas Levi, right there in Parshas Truma. We continue. Says the Gemara, second to last line. When Reish Lakish came in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, this is what I told Ploni, meaning the reason that there was not a bias sheni, that it was as great as bias Rishon, was that it was inherently flawed originally, because they didn't come back. So that might be one reason. Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan says, there's another reason. Omar lelav hainu taima, that's not the reason, that's not the only reason. Why? De'inami, with the Dalits. De'inami, sliku kula b'mei Ezra, even if they would have come up, lo havishar yeshchina b'mikdasheni, it still wouldn't have been the same. There still wouldn't have been full hashras hashchina in b'yesheni. Dichziv, because the pasuk says, in Noach, yavda l'kim l'yefes v'yishkon ba'al l'shem. What does that mean? That Yefes is going to get the beauty and the Yishkon Ba'al Eshem, and he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will rest in Ahal Eshem. What do we darshan? Afal Gav, the Yafta Lekim Yefes, even though there's beauty shown to Yefes, and Yefes does something good, meaning what? Top Rashi, Shezachu Parsiyim Livnos Ba'yesheni. The Persians were the ones that gave permission to build Ba'yesheni, according to some Chazals, right? It was the son of Esther and Achashverosh. Koresh was able to give the original permission, and then they stopped, and they continued. But even though that's true, and therefore it's somewhat called the bias of Yefes, Ein Ashchina Shora Ela Ba'al Eshem. The full Shechina, Ashraz Ashchina, will only be in Al Eshem, which is, of course, bias Rishon, Shlomo HaMelech, who comes from the Zera of Shem. So that's a drasha, Rabbi Yochanan said. Period. Uparsa'i Minolan de Miyefes Kasi. How do we know that Persia, Koresh, They come from Yefes. How do we come from Yefes? How do we put together Parshas Noach and the Purim story? Right? How do we do that? Dichsiv b'nei Yefes gomer umagog umadai v'yavan v'suval umeshach v'tziras. Right? Those are all the children of Yefes. So we're going to darshan. Which one of these children are the modern day countries? Or some countries that we think are the modern day? Gomer ze germamia. And the Gra, 300 years ago, changes the Mem to the Nun. Germania. Right, that's the Gra right here. And then look what it says in the Hagosa Gra. Ayin Mashakasa Be'elio Rabba Reish Per Beis De Negoim. Look what he wrote in Negoim. So if you quote a Gra in Negoim, you got to look that one up. So the Gra in Negoim, in the second beginning of the second paragraph in Negoim, there the Mishnah discusses. Amazing. It's a Mishnah that we would gloss over without the Gra's comment. We mentioned a few days ago that the Gra's commentary on Zraim is called Shnos Elio. It's in the back. And the gross commentary on Taurus is called Eliyahu Rabbah. Right? Not to be confused with other Eliyahu Rabbahs on Shulchan Aruch. So the Gra there says, the Mishnah there says, if you find a white spot on two different people, if you find a white spot on a Germani, or if you find a white spot on a Kushi, it looks different. A Germani, the Gra explains, and we'll see how in a second, a Germani has much lighter skin. So the same white spot on a Germani will appear duller than a white spot on a Kushi who has dark skin, and then it'll appear brighter. That's what the Mishnah says. Baharis Aza, Nireis Begermani Keha. Va Keha Bekushi Aza. That's what it says. Says the Gra. Ze Ish, what's Germani? Ze Ish mi bine Gomer. Kida Amrinan Biyoma. Gomer zu Germania. The Garcinan Germania. The Kachuva Biyalkut. Says the Gra, this is Germania. The who, let me explain. Noach had three sons, Shem, Cham, and Yafes. Shebnei Noach Darim Begimel Ruchos HaOlam. The three directions. If we would be standing in the Mediterranean, and we would look north, south, and east, those are the three places where Noach's sons went. Shem went east, went to Eretz Yisrael. And Yafes, he explains, went north, Germania, right, where modern-day Germany is, and Cham went south. Cham went south, and he was the one that was cursed, and that's Africa. And he says, Sham b'Mizrach Yefes, Shem b'Mizrach Yefes b'Tzafon Cham b'Darom. This is the Gra, hundreds of years ago. U'mipnei shacham b'Darom namuchu. And because the sun in the south is namuch, what does that mean? It's a stronger, hotter climate. Huma'od b'nei adam adarim sham shchorim. V'kushu mi b'nei cham. Vidar besof darom. Kush is all the way, maybe in South Africa. And everyone there has dark skin because of the sun. Helkachem shchorim biyoser machmas hashemesh. And that's why the Mishnah uses that term. Ubine yefes heim darim bitsafon. Virachokim heim hashemesh. Helkachem levanim. Those Europeans, says the Gra, have very light skin. It's compared to the Africans, a very dark skin. And that's yefes, v'gomer. V'gomer dar besof tzafon hilkachim levanim biyoser. That's why the Mishnah gives that example, because it's very white. And b'nei shame, sorry, u'bekushi shu shachar biyoser keha niris azah v'gomani shu lavan biyoser azah niris keha, fine. And then shame lives in the middle, right? That's in the east side in Eretz Yisrael. V'hani tanai, and then he goes into this Mishnah. But that's the amazing Gra, that the three sons of Noach went north, east, and south. What about west? What about west? They didn't know that what was out there at the time. Maybe in the times of the various times. Actually, the only three sons. You couldn't have a fourth son going anywhere else anyway. So, Vayter, says the Gemara. So how do you know Persia is from Yefes? As we'll see, we're going to darsh in a different country and nation from each son. So Gomer is Germania, as the Gra said. Magog zu Kandaya, Madai zeu Macedonia. Sounds similar. Yavan kemashma'o, Tuval, Toval ze bayis unaiki, Meshach zu Musia, Tiras, Pligibra Rav Simai v'Rabanan, V'yamrila Rav Simon v'Rabanan, Chadamar zu beis Triki, V'chadamar zu Paras, Tani Rav Yosef, Tiras, zu Paras. So there it is. One of the sons, grandsons, are identified as Persia, and therefore you know Persia comes from Yefes, and that's how the Gemara says that the second base of Mikdash will not be forever, because it is called the bias of Yefes. So it's beautiful, but if you food social Yefes, but it's not Ahalei, it's not Ahalei Shem. So we know Persia was the second Gaulus that we went through. Bias Rishon was destroyed by Bavel. Later on, Persia took over, and Achashverosh, and they allowed us, as we'll see, as Shem in a little bit in the Gemara also, to build by Yesheni. Later on, they were taken over by Yavan. And, of course, later on, they were taken over by Edom, who destroyed Romi, who destroyed by Yesheni. Let's continue, though, the other names listed here. Savta Varama Vesavtacha, Tani Rav Yosef. These are Sakisi's son, Givyasa Vesakisi's son, Biryasa. The inner and the outer Sakisi's son. Two different countries. Ben Chada Lachada Mea Parsi. There was 100 Parsa between them. The Kefa Alpha Parsi. But the outer one had a hekef, a circumference of 1,000 parsa. Fati reishes mamlachto, bavel, ve'erech, ve'akad, ve'kalnei. Bavel kamashma'a, that's bavel. As the Gemara talks about elsewhere, how bavel got its name, right? Balul. Erech zu orichus, ve'akad ze baskar, kalnei ze nofer ninfi. Right? Different identifications. Min ha'aretz ahi yatsa Ashur. From out of that land, Ashur went, Tani Rav Yosef, Ashur ze silek. Right, that's Sea Lake. One more pasuk, and then we'll make a comment. But even as Ninveh, and he built, Asher built Ninveh, ves Rechovos Ir, ves Kalach, Ninveh Kamashmao, that's the big city of Ninveh, Rechovos Ir, zu Paras Demeshan, Kalach ze Paras Debursif. Different places. Ves Resen, ve Ninveh, ve Kalach, Yir Aragdola, that is the big city, Resen ze Aktisphon, hi ha Iragdola. Eni Odea, im Ninveh ha Iragdola, im Resen Iragdola. I don't know what that phrase in the pasuk is going on. The big city. There are two different psukim, two different names mentioned earlier in the pasuk. So is the big city going on Ninveh or the other one? Resen Aktisphon. Kishu Omer v'Ninveh ha'isi Yir Agdola le'lokim mahalech shloshes yamim in Yonah. When it says Ninveh is the big city, havi Omer Ninveh hi ha'ir hagdola. So Ninveh is the big city. Period. So that takes us through all the names in Parshas Noach, all the descendants of Noach, and what they allude to. Rashi in Chumash, on the pasuk of Ashur leaving, and also Rashi here says it as well on the third skinny line, min haaretz ahi yatsa Ashur, so even though literally it means pashtus, that Ashur came out from this family, but Rashi quotes, shelo lihiyos ba'atzaz dar haflaga. Ashur left, right? Ashur couldn't take it, didn't want to be near Nimrod, near the Migdal Bavel, so Ashur left. We mentioned in a parshas here a couple of weeks ago, isn't it interesting that Ashur left because it couldn't take it? And what was one of the descendants of Ashur? Ninveh. And Ninveh was the only group, really, not the only, right? The only, well, in one sense it is, the only non-Jewish group in the entire Tanakh that does tshuva. An amazing turnaround. And all they have to be told is once. All they have to be told is once, right? How many times Am Yisrael have to be told many, 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 many times, and we still don't listen. Ninveh is told once and they listen. That's part of the reason why Yonah didn't want to go, because he knew that would happen and that would make us look bad. But the Yam Simcha in Parshas Noach says, isn't it interesting that Ashur left and the Ninveh later on was the ones that were able to conquer the Yetzer Hara? Maybe it's because Ashur left. Because they set the stage, they put into the DNA of all of their descendants, the Koach, to be able to separate from evil, to separate and come back. Ulai mishum hachi zacha Ninveh ha'ir agdola asos tshuva. Mishum shaham miyasid shel ha'ir ma'as bera asher keneged Hashem v'unata batoch ha'ir yira me Hashem yisbarach v'tir aviro. Maybe that's it goes all the way back. Ninveh had that ability because it goes all the way back to Asher. And we find in many contexts that when something is built and starts off in a certain way, that has effect for the entire later descendants. The Vilna Gaon's brother quoted that in the Sefer Ma'alos HaTorah, in the Gra's brother, they quoted from his brother, the Gra, that the Gra once said, if a shul would ever be built with perfect kavanas, betahara shlema, nobody would ever say a dvar chulit in that shul. Nobody, because it would be so perfect and pure at the moment it was built, it would be impossible to say anything other than Torah and Tefillah in that shul. And we know the beginnings are always crucial. All the stories about the great Rashi Yeshiva, that when they put the Evan Pinah, when they put the cornerstone on the Yeshiva, they stayed up all night and they cried and they learned and this and that, because they wanted to make sure that the yeshiva was so pure and the Beis Medrash was on such a level. So maybe Ashur laid the groundwork for their later descendants of Ninveh by leaving. Good. Once we're talking about some names, and we're darshaning names, so we darshan a couple of other names, as we go to Parshas Shlach, last skinny line. V'shem Achiman, Sheshai v'Talmai, Yulidei Ha'anak, the names of the giants. Achiman, Sheshai, Talmai. Tana, Achiman miyuman sheba achim. He was the strongest. Literally, the right side is always the stronger, right? He was the miyuman sheba achim. Sheshai shemesim es aretz kishechisos. Sheshai, he made the whole earth under him in ruins. He destroyed whenever he took a step. He destroyed everything that was under him. Talmai shemesim es aretz tlamim tlamim. He made furrows as he walked, like the Malach of Choresh creates Tlamim, so he made furrows as he walked, right? These great giants. Interesting Ha'ara the Marsha has, where this Gemara also comes up in Sota. Why only here in Shlach are these giants mentioned? Right, we have Kiryas Arba earlier in the Torah. We have it by Chayasara, right? We have it elsewhere. Why Dafka only here in Shlach? So the Marsha says, the Torah is not a history book. The Torah doesn't give you details of certain events until you need to know them, and until it makes a difference. And that's why here, the context is Am Yisrael being scared of the giants. So that's why Dafka here, they're listed in Shlach, because now it makes a difference in the story. Important ha'ara that the Marsha has. Why else might they be called this? A davar acher, continuing. Achiman bana anas, sheishai bana alush, talmai bana talbush. Right? They all built a certain city. If you want to look in the Ben Yoyada, he gets Kabbalistically here what all these cities symbolize. Yilideha anak, what does that mean? Children of anak, shema anikin hachama become a son. They were so tall, it looked like the sun was lower than they stood on the horizon. It was as if they wore the sun like a necklace. Ma'anikin, the word anaka. Right? As if they wore the sun like a necklace, they were so big. Period. A couple of more lines relating to this, and then we get back to Yuma. Amar Rebbe Shimon Levi, Amar Rebbe, Asida Romi Shetibo Biat Paras. There will come a time before Mashiach that Rome would fall back into Paras' hands. Even though Paras was Gaulus number 2, and Rome was Gaulus number 4, looking at it from our vantage point, but there will become a time that Rome would fall into the hands of Paras. Shenei Marcus, the Pasuk says, Lochein Shimo Atzasa Hashem Asher Ya'atz El Edom, listen to the Eitz of Hashem that he was Miya'etz about Edom, Umach Shevosav Asher Chashav El Yoshvei Teiman, Im Lo Yischavum Tzirei Atzon. The Tzirei Atzon, the young sheep, which we'll see is a reference to Paras, will drag them away. Im lo yashim alehem nevehem. They will make desolate, for the word shmama, all of their dwellings. So that's an illusion that the Tzirei Hatzon, the Paras, will destroy Edom. So Maska v'arabah bar'ula, my mashma, the height Tzirei Hatzon parasu. How do you know that Tzirei Hatzon is referring to Paras? Right, the young sheep. What do they have to do with Paras? So dechziv ha'ayil asher ra'isa, talking to Daniel when he had his vision, the ayel is a ram, is also in the category of son, that you saw Baal HaKarnayim, Malchei Madai Ufaras. It's referring to Pras. V'yema Yavan, maybe it refers to Yavan, Dechsiv, V'hat Safir V'Seir Melech Yavan, right? The Seir, the he-goat, is the referring to the king of Yavan. So, Kisalag Rav Chaviva Bar Sirmaki, Amr Kameh Dahumi Rabbanan. When he came, he said in front of the Rabbanan, Amr Leh, he said, Mandalo Yadav Perushe Kroy Mosef Tzuftel Rebbe. You're asking a kasha on Rebbe. You don't know Pshanim Psukim. You say, oh, how do you know it means this? No, Ma'it Tzirei Atzon. What does it mean? Zutra Da'achowi. It means the youngest of the sheep, the youngest brother. As we said on top, the Tani Rav Yosef, Tiras Eparas. Right, like we said, the youngest brother, Tiras, is an illusion. His descendant is Paras. That's what referred to Tzirei Hatzon. So don't ask Akasha on Rebbe if you don't know this Chazal. Period. The suggestion was given once we're in the Hanukkah mode within 2 weeks before. Just mention, as we mentioned many times, what Yavan believed in was pretty amazing. They were not interested in destroying the Beis HaMikdash. The entire galus of Yavan was during Bayesheni. The only one. Right, Persia, we still didn't have a bais, and they let us build a bais. Obviously, Bavel and Rome destroyed. But Yavan, that entire galus, we were in Yerushalayim, and we had a Beis HaMikdash. Right? They just were interested in defiling it, making it impure. They said, you can have your temple, we'll have our temple, but their point was that our temple, our Beis HaMikdash, there's nothing special about it. There's nothing spiritual. There's nothing behind the scenes. There's nothing religious. What you see in front of you is what you get. That's what the Yavanim believed. They were into the physical. They were into the just what's in front. And that's what we've mentioned for the Baali Musar, that even the word Yavan, Yud Vav Nun, there's no pneumius to those letters. Those are the only few letters of the alphabet that are just lines. There's no inside. It's all just what you see in front of you. Right? Yud Vav Nun. And also it gets lower. It drags us down. The Yud and then the Vav and then the Nun. It gets even lower and lower. That type of attitude and ashkafa of Yavan, of just being interested in what's in front of me, not believing in anything that I can't see, which is Yavan, right? They went around and were matame everything. So you can have your temple. But there's no ruchnius, there's no hashras hashchina. So that's what Yavan believed. And that's how they said, we can have a Beis HaMikdash. But that was also a galus. That was also a galus because that also represents darkness. Okay, so this was all, we're still in the sugyas of, Rebbe says that Rome is going to fall in the hands of Paras based on the pasuk in Sefer Yirmiyahu. And we had, now we have number 2, Amar Rabbi Chana, but the fifth wide line, Amar Rebbe Yochanan Mishum Rebbe Yehuda Rebbe Loi, Asida Rome Yishatipo Biat Pras, Kalvachomer. It's a Kalvachomer that Rome is going to fall into the hands of Paras at one point in the future. Uma Mikdash Rishon Shevanuhu B'nei Shem. Uvehech rivuhu kasdiyim. Naflu kasdiyim biad parsiyim. The Mikdash Rishon, which we built, and it was destroyed by the Babylonians, and yet the Persians conquered them. Mikdash Sheni, Shebanu parsiyim. The second base of Mikdash, where the Persians themselves built. Vehech rivuhu romiyim. Eno dinshi yiplu romiyim biad parsiyim. Surely they're going to be really mad. It's the base of Mikdash that they themselves built. And surely they will try to conquer Rome. Amr Rav, Asida Parash, Atiba Bian Romi. So Rav says just the opposite. There will come a time that Persia will then again fall into the hands of Rome. Amrule, Rav Kahana, Veravasi Larav, Binuye Biad Sasure. The ones who built will fall into the hands of the one who destroyed? What do you mean? Persia was okay at some point, right? They allowed us to build the Bayis Sheni. Amr Luin, yes, Gzeres Melachi. The Kodesh Baruch Hu has his reasons. Right, don't ask exactly why. Ika da Amri or Amaluhu, he said, Inhunami Hakasasri Be Kanishta. Fine, they built the Beis HaMikdash. But they also had terrible, you know, other decrees that they have had throughout history, as we know in the different chapters of history. They destroyed many shuls, and therefore we have to realize that they weren't the greatest either. Right? Ayein the Purim story. Tanya Nami Hachi, Asida Parashatiba Biad Romi. Chada, the Sasri Beit Knishta, they destroyed shuls. V'od Gzeres Melachi, Sheyiplu, Bonim Biyad Sostrim. That's going to happen. Kodesh Baruch Hu goes there that. Damar Rav Yehuda Marav, Ein Ben David Ba, Acha Tifshot, Malchus Romi, Arisha B'chol Olam Kulo. The Rav and Melach, Mashiach's not going to come until the Malchus Romi is over the entire world. Tisha Chadashim, for at least 9 months. Which is somewhat strange, because we think Rome is right now in power. Right, all these thousands of years, the past 2,000 years, but there will be some reference. Something is going to happen for 9 months. Shneamar lachen yitzneim ad eis yoleda yalada v'yeter achiv yeshuvun al bnei Yisrael. Then they will return again as 9 months. Obviously, makes us think of chevle leda, chevle Mashiach, are compared to the pangs of childbirth and the pain of childbirth. Though it will be painful, Mashiach, there will be a leda after that time period. Okay, so that was our little excursion into Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. How do we get into this whole discussion? If you remember, we spoke about the number of Kohanim Gedolim during Bayis Rishon, during Bayis Sheni. The Parhedrin, why was the Parhedrin not called the Balvati? Right, that was the discussion. And then we got into Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, and the Yuma Daf Tes, which we said, again, the three Gemaras have to be learned together, Yuma Daf Tes, Bamsiya Daf Lamed, and Nedarim on Daf Pei Aleph, all the reasons that the Bati Mikdash were destroyed. Okay, now we get back to first parak of Yuma, two dots. Tanur Rabbanan. Kol ha'lishcho shayiva mikdash lo hayu lohen mezuzah. None of the offices in the Beis HaMikdash required a mezuzah. Chutz mi lishkas parhedrin, except for this one, that the Kohen Gadol was in. Shahayu ba beis dira la Kohen Gadol. It had living quarters for the Kohen Gadol. He was there for a week, day and night, so it needed a mezuzah for that reason. Okay, there's a lot to talk about in the sugyas. Let's just mention one hara now before we continue. That is the Gvuras Ari. The Shakas Arya here says it needed because he lived there for a week. What's the halach if you don't live in a place for a week? What happens if you live in a place for 2 weeks? You have to put up a mezuzah yet? When does the chiyuv of mezuzah kick in? So we know the Shulchan Aruch says, if you're renting, you don't own it. Right? If you own it, you have a chiyuv of mezuzah right away. But if you're renting, so the Shulchan Aruch says, in Chutz La'aretz, if you're renting, you have up until 30 days. In Eretz Yisrael, then you have to put it up right away. Why? The Gemara says, Mishum Yishev Eretz Yisrael. Is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabbanan? If you look there, Rashi in Menachos, where this Gemara comes up, Yishev Eretz Yisrael means we want to make sure that it's difficult. You don't want to leave Batim in Eretz Yisrael empty. So that's why we make it difficult. You have to put up a mezuzah right away. You're not going to want to leave once you put up the mezuzah. V'chulu. Sounds like a din d'rabbanan. The concept of Yishev Eretz Yisrael is a din d'oraisa. But the application to Hilchos Mezuzah is a d'rabbanan. So on this, says the Gevurah Sari, Pashtus is on a d'oraisa level. There's no difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. If you don't own, there's no chiyuv of mezuzah before 30 days. So why does the Lishkas Parhedrin need a mezuzah? Right? It's less than 30 days. It's a week. He's only in there for a week. Says the Gevurah Ari, says the Shagas Aryeh, Efshar Lomar, maybe, even though normally you need a month, afilu hachi, here's different. Because he doesn't have a choice. The Kohen Gadol has to be here. It's what we would call achshaveh. This dira becomes chashuv because there's no way that this person is not going to be here for this week. This residence becomes very important. Rami Rachmana Aleshi Yifresh Bezayin Yomim Alalu Bekodesh Dafka Dum Yodim Iluim Asa Lishka Makom Prishaso Miyad Lediras Keva. It immediately, it's called a Diras Keva, and therefore it has a certain status. Similarly, he says, I'll give you something else, a little mashal, not exactly the same, but a little mashal. He says, the first night of Sukkot, we have to eat a kezias in the Sukkah. Even though the rest of Sukkot, you might require a kebetza to be called a Su'udas Keva, even, but on the first night of Sukkot, where you have a chiyuv to eat this kezias in the sukkah, that gives it the status of a su'udas keva, and you are yotze, your mitzvah, with that. He says, Avagadu b'shar yimeyachah kezias achilas arai ve'in sorach sukkah v'kol makom b'lel echad shekava hakasuv chova b'sukkah aso achilas keva hachanami Avagadu chashav dira pachad b'shloshim yom kan shekava hakasuv dira aso chova b'makom kadosh zayin yomim. So it is considered a diras keva, and that's why even less than 7 days would require a mezuzah. So that's the first statement, that none of the offices in the Beis HaMikdash had mezuzahs because Kohen didn't live there except for this one. What about the Beis HaMokad? Pashas that had a mezuzah. Right, remember the first Mishnah in Maseches Tumim and Midos, that they slept there overnight, and there were Kohanim always there. Always there, every night they slept there. So Pashas, that's not called a Lishka here. That's a separate Beis HaMokad in that area where they used to sleep. Amar Rav Yehuda, v'hamakam ha-lishkos ha-yev ha-mikdash ha-yelan beis dira, v'lo ha-yelan mezuzah. What do you mean? Many Lishkos in the Beis HaMikdash had a Beis Dira, they didn't have a mezuzah. Like where? Where they used to guard, Rashi quotes. Shomrei Habayis. In many offices, we know from the first Mishnah in Tumim and Midos also, that there were guards all over the Beis HaMikdash throughout the night. So they stayed there, they weren't supposed to fall asleep. If they fell asleep, remember the Mishnah fell asleep, that the Memunah would come and light their clothes on fire to make sure they're woken up. So they weren't supposed to sleep, but they sat there. Maybe they snacked there a little bit. They were there the entire night. So that has Beis Dira, and yet it didn't have a mezuzah. Ella, really, me'ikar hadin, on a daraisa level, this is not a Dira, we assume at this stage. Ella lishkas parhejin gzeira haisa. It's gzeira drabban on why the lishkas parhejin requires a mezuzah. We'll see what that gzeira is in a couple of minutes on Amid Beis. But that is what we think right now. My time at Rebbe Yehuda. So what is the reason for Rebbe Yehuda that he says this, that it is a chiyuv? So Amar, why he says on a daraisa level there's no chiyuv and only on a drabbanan level. Amar Rabba kasav Rebbe Yehuda kol bayis sheinu asli limos acham o limos akshamim eino bayis. If it's not a house that is meant for yearly, it's only seasonal living, it is not a house. It is not a house. So this, though, as we see, we might not paskin this way. Because what if it's a house that's ro'i for the whole year, but you just don't live there except certain times? Like here, you can live here the whole year, you just don't. What if somebody has a summer house? You don't need a mezuzah on a summer house? If you're there the whole summer, because you never live there other than that? So let's see. Eise Abaya, Foxiv, 1 second. V'kesi es beis ha-choref al beis ha-kayitz. You see, it's called a bias, even though one's for the summer, one's for the winter. So Amar Leh, beis choref u beis kayitz ikri, bias stum alo ikri. Those aren't called bias. And the mezuzah is chayv on a bias, those are called bias kayitz u beis choref. Eise Abaya, 1 second, another question. Sukkas ha-chag b'chag. What about a sukkah? What about a sukkah? Is there a chiyuv mezuzah on a sukkah? Machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev achamapoch. Rabbi Yehuda's mechayev. Rabbi Yehuda holds you have to put a mezuzah up on your sukkah. And we don't paskin that way. We paskin like the chachamim. V'toni Allah, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev be'eruv ube mezuzah ube meiser. And the Brisa says, not only is he mechayev mezuzah in a sukkah, but he's chayev eruv, mezuzah, and meiser. What does that mean? Eruv means if this sukkah opens up to an area, as we know, the concept of Eruv Chatzeros, then this is considered a bias regarding now there's more than one residence that opens up to this yard, and you need an Eruv Chatzeros. Meiser, if it's brought into the sukkah, that's like Re'ias Pnei HaBayis, which is a stage of, in the process of bringing your Meisers in order to make them Chayiv and Shumas and Meisers. So Rabbi Yehuda considers a sukkah, what we call a sukkah, a bias regarding all these regards. So it's a kasha. How could Rabbi Yehuda say in our Mishnah relating to Yom Kippur that there's no chiyuv in mezuzah daraisa, only mishum gzera, while he says elsewhere the sukkah is chayiv in mezuzah? So you see, you don't need something very long to be chayiv in mezuzah. V'chi teima midrabanan. And if you want to say this last statement is also only on a drabanan level, and on a daraisa level, there's no eruv mezuzah and meiser do not apply. So that fits for two of them. Bishlama eruv mezuzah. Ikalam eruv midrabanan. You could say, okay, you're chayiv in mezuzah drabanan. You could say you're chayiv in eruv chateros, right? It's all drabanan. Ela meiser miikalam eruv midrabanan. But what you could say, it's chayiv in trumas and meisers midrabanan. If it goes into the house, it's going to be very confusing. Dilma atzi lafrushim in a chiyuv al patur min a patur al chiyuv. If this is really patur from trumas and meisers, and you might take off from there onto produce that is still chayiv, so it's just going to lead to confusion. So this suggestion of Rabbi Yehuda saying it's not chayiv d'oraisa leaves us with a stira, because then he says a sukkah is chayiv d'oraisa. So we have to come up with another way to understand the second braisa about sukkah. That's what we're going to change. We're going to keep our original statement of Rabbi Yehuda says the Lishkas Parhedrin is only chayiv d'rabanan in mezuzah, and we're going to re-understand the second. So El Amar Abaya, next try. Everybody agrees that on Sukkis, I'm sorry. First, Abaya is changing. I take that back. First, we try to change the original, right? Rashi says, Elam Rabaya, Beshivas Yamim Shel Prisha. During the 7 days of Prisha before Yom Kippur, everybody agrees that it's Chayiv in Mezuzah, similar to Sukkah. The Beshivas to Kuleyam Lopik in the Mechayiva. Rabbi Yehuda Shit on Sukkah. Kipliki Beshayimos Hashana. The Machlokis is, what about the rest of the year? Does the Lishkas Parhedrin in Mezuzah the rest of the year? Rabbanan Tzavi Gazrin and Shayimos Hashana Otu Shiva. Yes, it's a Maris Ayin issue, right? So you need a mezuzah there all the time, say the Rabbanan, and that's where Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says, Zavar lo gazrinan, you don't make such a gzera, there's no issue of Maris Ayin. But Rashi adds in, there's a separate gzera, which the Gemara is going to say later on, a different gzera, not because of Maris Ayin, you might get confused with the rest of the year. There's a different reason why you would need mezuzah, which we'll mention in explicitly in the Gemara in a minute. Amalei Rava, Rava says, no, I don't accept this answer either. Why? V'hasukas hachag b'chagtani. It says that the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim is about Sukkis. Right? Your suggestion, Abai, is that everybody agrees on Sukkis and the machlokas is the rest. You know, it's Sukkis Chag B'Chag. That's the machlokas. Se'ela Amar Rava, B'Shar Yemos Hashana Kuli Amalo Pliki De Petura. No, the rest of the year, everybody agrees, Pater. You don't need a mezuzah the rest of the year because you don't live there. Right? The chiv of mezuzah is, as the Gemara says, Chovas Hadar. The one who lives there. Like the Gemara says, Hamaskir and the Socher has to put the mezuzah. If you don't live there, if I have a house that I never live in, there's no chiyuv of mezuzah there. It's like if you have your tzitzis in your drawer. So we pass it, and you don't have to put mezuzah, tzitzis on it. You have a beged of dalad kanfas. No, it's only if you live there. Chovas hador. So kiplegi b'shiva b'shiva v'sukkah. Kiplegi b'shiva. The machlokas is on the 7 days of sukkis and on the 7 days of separation. V'sukkah time aluchud v'lishka time aluchud. And don't ask me any steerers, because there's different reasons in each context, for Rabbi Yehuda Shita in both contexts. Sukkah, time alachud, sukkah, there's separate reasons, as we know from the beginning of Masechta Sukkah. Rabbi Yehuda, letaimei, da'amar sukkah, diras keva b'inon, u'mechayiv b'mezuzah, v'rabbanu letaimayu, da'amri sukkah, diras arai b'inon, v'lo mechayiv b'mezuzah. The machlokas of Yehuda the Chachamim is a local sukkah machlokas, whether a sukkah is allowed to be a diras keva, or it must be a diras arai. We paskin diras arai, that's why there's no chiyuv b'mezuzah. Rabbi Yehuda paskins diras keva, and therefore he requires a mezuzah, right? Remember the first mission in Sukkah, Rabbi Yehuda allows above 20 amos, even though it has to be built keva. So that's the machlokas about Sukkah. Velishka, time alachud, and the lishka's parhedrin is a separate machlokas. Rabbanan savri, dira balkarcha, shmadira. If you're forcibly inside, shmadira, and therefore it is mechayiv, chayiv in mezuzah da'oraisa. Even though you're forced to be there, it's still called a residence. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, no, Dira Balkarcha, lo shma Dira. If you're forced to be there, it is not called a halachic Dira. You don't really want to be there. That's not called residence. There'll be Drabbanan who, the Takinola, and there's just a Gzera Drabbanan, you should put a mezuzah up there. Why? Here's the line. Shalo Yomru Kohen Gadol Chavash Bebeso Asurim. You shouldn't say Kohen Gadol's in jail. A jail, sounds like what? It sounds like a jail wouldn't need a mezuzah. That's what it sounds like. Because it's, right, you're forced there, Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rabbi Yehuda holds. that Dira Bal Karcha would not require mezuzah, and therefore there's no mezuzah. They're like, oh, the Kohen Gadol's in jail there. He's stuck there. So that's why you have to put a mezuzah to Rabbanan. Why are we so worried about this? So what, they'll say this. Says Rabbi Bruin in the Sharam Sanah Balacha, you know, some of the Talmidim out there, Talmidim of Rabbi Bruin, also he says no, because there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of the Kidashto by Kohanim. And therefore, we have to be mechabed Kohanim, especially the Kohen Gadol. So this would be a violation, somewhat, of that din, of what we think the Kohen Gadol is sitting in jail. That would be a bizayon in our minds, and that's why we know that's the reason for the gzera, because the mitzvah says d'oraisa of v'kidashto. The question that Rishonim here ask is, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, what dira bal karcha is lo shma dira, and the Rabbanan say it's shma dira, and that's why you need a mezuzah. So what about a sukkah? A sukkah, we're forced to sit in the sukkah. But you have to sit in the sukkah, so why, according to the Rabbanan, okay, it's diras arai, but it's dira bal karcha. What, diras arai overrides dira bal karcha? But it's shmadira, even if you're forced there for a week. So you might say that. You might say, even though it's shmadira, it also has to be a diras keva. So you might suggest that. This is the Tosfos Yeshanim's question. But that's one answer. So you might say diras overrides. The Tosfos Yeshanim say, no, there's another reason why it's different. It's diras bal karcha, but your wife and kids aren't with you. So you're obviously, this isn't your exclusive residence for the week. It is, but it isn't. Right, we have to treat it, right? Make our sukkah keva and our house arai, but there's still, you know, some usages that we have. The Kohen Gadol is here for the week. Nothing to talk about. He's there. He's not allowed to be with his wife, and as we said. But if you're allowed to be around, so maybe that's not called a diras arai. That's not called a diras arai. I'm sorry, that's not a problem of sukkah requiring a mezuzah, because Dira bal karcha, but you still have what to do outside the sukkah. Others say that maybe this is inherent in the nature of diras arai. You can't have a mezuzah, because if you put a mezuzah on it, that would make it into a diras keva. Not just what we said before, that diras arai overrides, but inherently that would change it into a diras keva. Either way, there are different suggestions given why this is the case. Again, the chiyuv of mezuzah, again, we're going to talk about it more also, Baruch Hashem, on tomorrow's daf. Again, there's a lot to say about the chiyuv of mezuzah. Just to remember the story, right, the most well-known story of mezuzah, and that is Unkelus. Unkelus in the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, when Unkelus becomes Jewish and the emperor keeps sending, right, Unkelus bar Klonimus Igayer, and the Kesar keeps sending groups of soldiers to try to get him back. And the first group of soldiers come, and what happens? He starts talking to them in Torah, and they're convinced, and they convert. And then the next group, he says, don't talk to them at all in Torah. So they say, fine. So as he's going out, he says, you see that mezuzah over there? He says, you know, our king is on the outside guarding us. He's not inside with the guards on the outside. They're like, whoa! And they convert. They keep converting. And finally, at the end, Caesar gives up. But it's the mezuzah that shows Hinei Nivalei Shema Yisrael. The Shmira elements is outside. Right? There's a lot in the postgame and the tour and others relating to the Shmira element. And just one other source that is not so well known. It's a fascinating source. I mentioned this a couple of years ago in a shiur in Hilchos Mezuzah, in Rus Rabba, in the Medrash, on Rus Rabba, on the Pasuk that Chazal darshin, that Rus is trying to say, I want to stay, and Naomi is saying, go, 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 and Rus is being Mekabelos Ol Mitzvos, right, Amecha Mi, Elokaich Elokai, and every phrase there, Chazal darshin, is another acceptance. So there says Rus, Vatomer Rus, Altifki bi lazvech uloshuv meacharayach, mau altifki ibi, Amr lo, lo techta alai, lo tisvin pigeich minech, lazvech lashuv meacharech. Mikomakom daitilis gayer. Right, I want to become Jewish. So, Nami hears that. Kivisham Nami, kach etchilo soderes lahilchas gerim. So Nami says, okay, fine. I'll start teaching you. Amra labiti, ein darka chobanos yisrael, lelech labati tiatrios, labati karkasios shalachem. Right, we don't have the same entertainment as the non-Jews. Amra la, el shaterchi elech. Amra labiti, ein darka chel yisrael, ladur bebayis, shein sham mezuzah. Amra la, basha telini alin. Okay, I can handle mezuzah. Amech ami, onesh, azarzach. That's the one! You know, Rus, you know, you have to have a mezuzah. That's so difficult. No, a house with a mezuzah is a certain type of house. It's not just you put the mezuzah and do whatever you want inside the house. That's a symbol of a certain type of house. That's what Shin Nomi says, the Medrash. You need a mezuzah. Okay, fine, I'll do it. Not so hard. Not so hard to put up a mezuzah. That's the great Rus Rabbah on that pasuk. Okay, we'll stop here. Parsha Shir is tonight. Parsha is tonight because I have something later on in the week. The Parsha Shir tonight. And Hashem, which again, I haven't mentioned it in a while, but again, anybody who wants to join us in our quest for creating a home for our dafyomi, for all the other shiurim, please join us in helping build our Mikdash Ma'at. We thank everyone who have joined already, and those who are thinking about it, please, you know, it's tax deductions as we get towards the end of the year. Feel free to join us, nofeyashemesh.com, nofeyashemesh.org, and get partnered with this great mitzvah of building a Mikdash Ma'at in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we'll stop here.